You're listening to Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Chris McFeely, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby.
And you are listening to Fanboy Versus. I am your host, JD, joined by Chris and Chris. That's Triplett and McFeely. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey. How's it going, guys?
It's going pretty good.
Not too bad. Pretty exciting week this week. This week, it is Fanboy versus Captain Boomerang, as we will dig into The Flash. But not really The Flash, since he's in, like, one panel. But it is The Flash comic. Nonetheless, we will talk about it amongst other many things. But as is per usual, we will start out with the news, which, of course, I send to McFeely. What do we have, sir?
Not a heck of a lot. Some of the news. There's some news. There's a little bit of news. We know there's going to be a new Venom ongoing series. That was announced this week.
What's up with that?
What is up with that? I don't know. It's spinning it's like, out of the...
It's like the 1990s all over again is what I was going to say.
There's a little sense of that. I mean, but Venom, I think, has been sidelined for so long, so majorly, that it doesn't hurt to try something again with him, frankly. And the Spider family of books is trying to have itself a little push lately with the launch of Big Time and the Spider-Girl and the Osborne books, which, despite it not really being particularly related, they're selling as a package deal, as it were. So I would say certainly there's no better time to try this. It's going to be written by Rick Remender, penciled by Tony Moore. Tony Moore did the first volume of The Walking Dead.
Cool.
Yes, and the hook of it really is that we don't know who it is yet. We don't know who has bonded with the symbiote.
Yeah, because he dropped off of whatever.
Yeah, Gargan. It has literally been removed from Matt Gargan in the first two issues of
Big Time.
Big Time, yes, thank you.
Yeah, we didn't really get into it, but it looks like Scorpion's coming back because they're talking about he needs a suit to survive, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, last time Dan Slott played with this a little bit, I was amazed at how quick... This was during, what was the name of that story? New Ways to Die, was it?
Fucking Dan Slott.
Whenever the symbiote destabilized, and Gargan had to put, like, a scorpion-style suit on over the top of it for all of five seconds.
That was the anti-venom story. Is that what you're talking about?
Was it that, or was it the story American Son, was it? It was somewhere in there, anyway.
Those are all stories. I'll agree with you on that. I remember the story names.
Well, I'm just surprised it lasted for no length of time at all. So I think Dan wants to bring the Scorpion back. So hopefully that's happening over in Spider-Man. But who is bonded to this guy, we cannot say. In this shocking new directions for everyone's favorite symbiote, the government now has Venom as their own Spider-Man, complete with a new look and a new mission. Eliminate threats to America as a covert agent. But can anyone control the destructive force of Venom? And just who is the man behind the mask?
I'm going to say no.
No, yes, 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 no, yes, and probably not.
I remember whenever Venom was a government agent in the late 90s in a chain of miniseries by Larry Hama. Didn't work out that well then either. I may give this a look.
I just want him to be a Spider-Man villain. Is that asking too much?
Apparently, yeah. You know.
That's true. He hasn't really been a Spidey villain for a long time now. But he is going to be debuting in Spider-Man 654.1. We were talking about Marvel's 0.1 initiative a show or two back, the jumping on point issue. So, eyes peeled for that. What's that? That's about 2 months away, February, I guess. And then this series launches in March. Speaking of Dan Slott, we had...
Dan Slott.
Yes, now, are you talking about the same thing I'm talking about?
I don't know. He got in trouble, apparently.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Dan Slott and message board etiquette. It was in a thread on the CBR forums in which a user posted a rather derisive comment about Slot, painted him as very fair weather, said, "It's just a paycheck for Slot anyway. He's not a real fan." And Slot, I don't know where your head has to be if that's the way you're looking at Dan Slott first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
But Slott himself responded, "As a guy who turned down a side job this year for a paycheck that would have been over a third of his yearly income because it would have meant cutting back on his not-so-lucrative comic book writing career and get in the way of working on his Spider-Man dream job, and the guy who slept less than 12 hours over the course of 4 days this week working on a script while he was sick, a guy who finally had to be ordered off by his editor to go see a doctor and is still in a good deal of pain today, and this is the first time I think I've ever said this to somebody over a comic book message board, go fuck yourself." Seriously? Go fuck yourself.
Awesome. I didn't know you said that.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a bit of a brouhaha over it. I'm in his corner personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
if you're reading the comic and you think he's not a Spider-Man fan, you got another thing coming.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there is. There's blame definitely to be portioned out on both sides. I mean, the fact that Slott would even come down to that, I think is indicative of how much of a fan he actually is. Because that's just a guy responding to another guy right there. But ultimately, as a professional, a certain level of decorum is expected in a public forum, and he really shouldn't have done that. It was the wrong thing professionally, but the right thing morally. Because that dude could certainly have stood to go fuck himself.
Well, and that, you know, but that is an interesting thing in terms of that intersection between. I mean, we live in an interesting time because now you have the writers can be in direct contact with the people who would criticize it or with the fan base or whatever, and it's instantaneous. It's not like you can, you know, back in the day, you know, even 5-10 years ago, you know, you sit down and write an article that you're going to post. And now, I mean, it's instantaneous. And if you're pissed off in that moment and you write that out and you hit send, it's there. I mean, that's it. And
yeah, and I mean, if they got a bombard of disappointed letters, then they knew they'd done wrong. You know, because people who actually went to the bothers of that, but everybody on the internet hates everything now anyway.
Yeah.
So there's
no
accurate gauge anymore in this day and age about this sort of stuff.
Yeah,
you used to have hissy nerds on the internet willing to say bad things about everybody, whereas, you know, in the old days of letters, you had to really
it took effort
into it to take the actual effort to.
Yeah, now there's no effort involved. I mean, it's literally if you read something or if you want to be a detractor, it's no problem to post that.
And with FormSpring and Twitter, like the sheer level of interactivity between these people, it comes right down. You know, they definitely have to adhere to some kind of professional level, but you know, so do. Readers, I think. I mean, if you want to criticize, you know, you paid the money for the product. Yeah, you know, you're entitled to be able to criticize it if you didn't enjoy the thing you spent money for. But, you know, it's as much on you to maintain some level of professional decorum as a customer than
I go back to something that Slott said, though, and I agree with, which is that what if this had been, you know, like Bendis or Gail Simone, who are notorious for being outspoken about their work. I mean, Gail Simone...
I'm surprised Gail Simone doesn't tell people to fuck themselves on a regular basis.
Like, she doesn't? I mean, she takes
she
up
She sort
entire...
of does on Twitter.
Yeah, she takes up entire sections of her Twitter to ridicule people that complain about her work. So why are we getting our panties...
But it's a little more artful than what...
Well, true. But, I mean, I think in essence it's the same thing. And I don't... And I
well,
agree
then that,
with...
that truly is the heart of the argument, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know...
He said that we dropped the F-bomb, you know. He didn't try to be wordy or clever about it, you know. That, I think, is more the heart of the... It is the language he used and the way he used it, more so than the actual spirit of what he said, I think, is what's really at the heart of the argument, you know.
It's not a very Disney response.
Well, that is very true. But you know, yeah. And I'm used to people like, you know, like I'm a big fan of Penn Jillette, and you know his big catchphrase is "fuck you in the neck," and you know that's I'm used to that. So I'm like, that would be, you know, that's an acceptable response to me. The guy made a shitty, unintelligent comment trying to criticize Slott's work that obviously is completely invalid. So you know what? Fuck you in the neck. So if well Slott said. Can't say it, then I will. So anyway.
Well, the guy did reply. I mean, he didn't. Well, I was going to say he didn't chicken out, but the response came back. Just waiting for it to open. Patience. Jesus, Dan, did you read the whole thing? It was so over the top with the supermodels and Ivy League schools and the mustache twirling. I thought it was obvious I was doing shtick. Let me do something I never do in an internet message board either. I'm sincerely sorry if I offended you. I come here and have fun and get some information and sometimes give some feedback. I'm relatively new here. I don't know you personally and blah, blah, blah. I sincerely apologize. I wish you well, and I hope you're on the magazine as long as you want to be.
Oh, sure. Now you say that. Now that the guy that you were ripping apart actually read what you said and responded, now you're like, oh no, I was just kidding.
That's not something that is funny to hear. It's just a paycheck to him. That's not funny.
No.
I mean, even if you're intending it as a joke, it's not funny. You know, I mean, this list of things he comes out with is, oh, I am new here. I don't know you personally. I mean, he's one step away from fucking just claiming to have Asperger's and blaming it on that. You know, the popular internet defense.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm in Slott's corner on this one, definitely. But unfortunately, one does have to, you know, I'm with him in sentiment, but there is a level of professional decorum one.
Yeah, I think Trill makes a good point, which is I'm not sure Disney would approve.
I keep forgetting that Marvel is now owned by Disney, and things like this may actually hurt him worse than we actually
That's
think
true,
of.
You know?
Yeah. Very true.
You have to hope that nothing too bad would come up. But then, you know, there's a lot of... It stirred up a hornet's nest in a few places. I mean, I know he seems to have some kind of... Well, not him so much, but I know that... what's this Spider-Man website? Crawl Space or something, I think it's called. They seem to have some kind of anti-Slott thing going on over there. So they're, oh, I'm shocked anybody would support Slott. And somebody asked Tom Brevoort on his forum, Spring, how do you feel about this? Is this how you Marvel guys respond to sarcastic comments, really? To your own customers? DC doesn't do this.
Oh, fuck that. Whatever.
I mean, Brevoort said, no, that's how one specific individual responded to one post in one instance. And if you'd like to talk about it further, he has his own forum Spring page. Yeah, I mean, that's just some little bastard weaseling, you know, ran off to tell daddy, basically. Yeah, I couldn't, you know, so, you know, yeah, more power to Slott, frankly. Yeah. You know, let's talk about something else. Thor trailer!
Yes,
which
finally.
Is basically the same one that was shown at Comic-Con.
There's a few extra little bits of ground crumbling and
in full CG of Destroyer, who looks awesome!
Yep. And were those were Ice Giants, yes? Frost
I don't know. I would. So they looked kind of blue. So they weren't. They didn't look to be made of ice or anything. So I don't know. Maybe they were just trolls.
There better be ice. You know, frost giants. If there aren't frost giants, I'll be really pissed off.
I think there are. I mean, I know there's frost giant figures, aren't there?
There are things I want in a Thor movie. I mean, it has to have Loki. It has to have frost giants, and it has to have Odin. That's about all I have to have.
Well, I think we're getting at least two of the three. They don't look very big if they are frost giants, but that doesn't mean anything.
I think I had a hard time, though, getting too fired up because so much of it was the Comic-Con trailer footage.
Yeah.
So
I was just talking on another podcast just before I came on to record this about the Transformers 3 trailer that came out this week, mm-hmm. and we were just talking about how it doesn't give an awful lot away; it just gives you the basic hints of the most basic idea of the storyline in it. Whereas I think, you know, Thor might have tipped a bit too much of its hand at this point.
Yeah, I mean it looks like I got a good idea of what the story is. I mean, as far as...
But then I don't know if that's just because we are comic fans, so we know what everything that we're seeing really means and the greater significance of things. Muggle can figure out what this means by looking at the
tree. It looks like, yeah, there's big baddies, and, you know, it looks like a Sword in the Stone variant, so, you know.
Dude, if like, Thor Girl shows up, I'll be surprised, and I'll be, you know, very
that
happy.
That would be, yeah.
You know? Beta Ray Bill, maybe?
In Beta Ray Bill, yeah.
No. Oh, don't make me dream.
We'll never see Beta Ray Bill. Okay.
No, don't make me lose hope.
There's
no way on top of this discussion.
Not very good. Oh, but at the end of the news, my shop owner did give me the first issue of Fractions Run on Thor for free.
Ah.
I think he's like, he's like a drug dealer. He's like, you should try this.
Damn. Yeah. That's basically what comics are.
He definitely should. He's giving you the good stuff. free.
Yeah, so...
It's like heroin.
He starts offering you Jeff Loeb's new Ultimates, you know, I mean, that's, you know, when he's just exploiting you.
Right.
He's recommending you the good shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway. What else happened? Did anything, was there any other?
I think that's about all news.
Mark Waid stepped down as Boom's CCO to focus on writing more.
Oh, yeah, I read something.
I guess that's pretty big. I mean, I don't buy any Boom Studios comics, but hey, it's Mark Waid.
I can't buy any Boom Studios comics.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. I'm sorry.
I don't ship them over here.
Were they doing Darkwing Duck and the Disney stuff?
Yep, that's him.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. Oh, there's another bit of you know, maybe we should just bit of news. Talk about some new comics that have been announced. We don't do that very often. Talked about Venom already. There's a new Abnett and Lanning cosmic miniseries coming up, Annihilators, a 4-issue miniseries, in which I'm a little tempted to read this. Silver Surfer, Beta Ray Bill, Quasar, Gladiator, and Ronan the Accuser, the so-called Cosmic Avengers, attempt to fill the void left by the loss of Nova and the Guardians of the Galaxies. But the hook about this is it answers a question that I had stored in the back of my mind for a little while, which is, whatever happened to that Rocket Raccoon and Groot miniseries that was shown off at a convention last year? You guys remember that?
Vaguely.
Yes. Well, it turns out that I guess they decided that it just wasn't going to sell on its own strength, and frankly, in this economy with the numbers the way they are now,
They decided it wouldn't sell, and they didn't do it? That's crazy.
No, hold on, not done yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It and this Annihilators mini are coming together. Two full-length comics in one.
So they're taking two comics that won't sell and put them together into one comic that won't sell.
Well,
it'll sell twice as bad.
Leave the cosmic stuff alone. It's $4.99. That means you're paying $2.50 for a comic in this.
How much is it again?
It's $4.99 per issue. So that's, you know, two full 22-page comics for $4.99.
For $4.99.
So two issue.
Why can't I get my Silver Surfer monthly series?
Yeah,
why can't I get instead?
Well, there is a new Silver Surfer mini coming up, I believe.
A mini series. I want a monthly.
There are no more monthlies.
I want Doctor Strange monthly, but look where we are.
Have we not gone over this? There are no more monthlies.
Everything is a year long.
It's a 12-month mini, okay?
Yeah. I like calling them seasons.
Seasons, yes. That's the new deal over at Marvel.
Yeah, they have started doing that a lot lately. And also, an actor from Hannah Montana has been cast as Flash Thompson in the new Spider-Man reboot.
Good.
Awesome that Flash is in it. Don't care who that guy is.
Yeah. My opinion of him is not changed one way or the other by the fact that he was in Hannah Montana. I can say that.
Maybe he'll actually be a character in this, unlike in the Sam Raimi movies. He was a non-character. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still like, I'm paranoid about this film as far as it just seems like it's going to be. The cast is just all over the place. I don't know. It's wacky.
Well, that's all the news for this week.
Yeah.
A few interesting tidbits there.
Comics, though. So, yes, comics. We could talk comics then.
Let's talk about some comics.
I just like going to Triplett.
Yay!
You can lead us off.
So we're saving Flash for last.
Yes.
Did anybody read Superboy?
No.
I did not read Superboy.
No, I was
Should
not convinced
I start
by
off
the
with
first
Superboy
issue.
And get it out of the way?
Sure. Was I?
Go ahead.
All I really want to know is, did I make the right decision?
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
You know?
Oh. I love when I save money.
I mean, it's more of the first issue. I mean, things happen in it, but
but not interesting.
I just don't know if I care.
Yes.
I mean. The first issue ended with Poison Ivy, you know? I mean, that's not much of a setup for a second issue. I'm sorry. And basically what happens is she's come to Smallville to find out what's going on with all these plants going crazy. She says she's not responsible, and she tells Superboy that whatever's doing it, it's affecting her, and she's losing her abilities to control the plants. So she wants to team up with Superboy so they can maybe solve the problem. So this issue is basically Superboy and Poison Ivy team up. Why? You know?
What?
I mean, why? Yeah. I don't know why? But so he like, you know, they track down the problem, and there's this thing. I don't know what it is. It kind of looks like an alien probe or something that's in a barn, and it's got this old man, and he's like, you know, strapped down and hooked to all these doodads and whatnot.
Okay, I'm hearing alien probe and plants, and my brain's going a really wrong place.
Yeah, well, it's counting down, so Superboy thinks it's a bomb, and then you find out, oh, you know, Poison Ivy, she didn't lose her powers. She was tricking him. She wanted to find this thing that was controlling the plant so she could increase her powers. And so she like tries to, you know, get, you know, take control over him like she did Superman back in Hush storyline. But then the dude, you know, the little scientist guy that knows that Connor is a Superboy shows up with he basically took what was left of Parasite and he used it with his experiments on frogs, and he made Parasite frogs. And the Parasite frogs are attacking Poison Ivy and taking her powers away from her.
Well, that's kind of awesome.
I mean, the image of little, you know, purple frogs with little white stripes on them is kind of awesome.
Okay, but, so so in the first issue, Superboy beats Parasite with wheat.
Yeah.
In the second issue,
basically,
Superboy helps defeat Poison Ivy with frogs.
With Parasite frogs, which, you know, the scientist boy says patent pending also, because he has to say that. And so Superboy gets the bomb probe thing, whatever it is, and decides to fly it up into space before it explodes. And when he gets before he leaves Smallville, it explodes, and it turns out it's not a bomb. It just does a flash of light. He doesn't know what happens, and it just crumbles to dust. You know, they, you know, take Poison Ivy and capture her, and Superboy saves this old man that was in the barn. There's this alien-looking thing that was left in the barn with some language they don't understand, and there's this mystery that you're supposed to be interested in, and there's these old dudes at the end of it that are acting like they're aliens or something, but I don't know what they are.
That's my favorite line right there. There's a mystery that you're supposed to be interested in.
Well, I mean, that's the point. That's my problem with it, is that I'm not interested. I don't know. Like, I love...
Is it trying to be funny, or...
No, I don't. I mean, sort of. If there's jokes in it, I'm not laughing. You know, it's just a comic. You know, like there's like comics that come out and you read them and you're done with them. And you're like, well, yeah, that's a comic. But there's like nothing about it. There's nothing about it that it just jumps out at you. Like the art's not bad. The art's not the best art I've ever seen, but it's not bad. And it seems like, you know, it's got a plot to it. It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's just that there's just nothing in it that makes me want to buy the next issue, other than the fact that it's Connor and it's Superboy, and I kind of like Connor. So I'm kind of torn. I don't know if I want to get Superboy 3. Okay. I probably will, because, you know, remember comics are like heroin, and I'm once you buy one, you got to buy more.
No, I did okay. I bought that first issue, and I went, this is crap. And see, I didn't buy this issue, and now I feel good.
Good.
See, you feel good.
You're past the bad part.
When you make the right decision.
But, I mean, just to let you know how it ends with these, they look like farmers, but they're talking funny. They have like funny, you know, speech bubbles. So obviously they got to be aliens or monsters or something. And it ends with them saying, basically, you know, we have everything we need and soon Smallville will be ours. Why do they want Smallville? I don't get it.
You know? No. Yeah, this, I don't know.
So okay. I didn't care for it that much. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe I'll get issue two. Maybe I won't. But yeah, that's Superboy. No.
Okay.
Let's go on to a better comic. How about Thor? You want to talk some Thor?
Feel free. Go ahead.
Thor number 618. Did both of you guys read it?
Nah.
Nah?
I read.
No, I just read. Remember, I just got started on the possible addiction.
But you got the first issue for free. You didn't get the new issue for free.
No, I got the first issue of Fractions run. So I've only read that first issue.
So what'd you think about it? Good feeling? Enjoy it?
Oh, I thought you were trying to enjoy it. Yes, absolutely. It continues to be. This issue, it feels like things are moving forward a little bit more than the last two certainly have.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it. I mean, we get Odin. Odin's in there.
Yeah, we do.
Get to see what he's been doing. He's been hunting things and dying every day and then coming back and hunting it again.
Yeah, Straczynski did this where we saw that Odin was in this limbo. He hadn't gone to Valhalla. He was just here in limbo, living and dying every day. And he said, you know, Thor was feeling really guilty about not bringing him back. And he was like, son, many's a king has taken the throne by screwing over their father. It's all right. And he stayed there and let Thor do his thing on Earth. But, you know, Odin has been dead for like 10 years.
It's been a while. The Dan Jurgens run, which is really old.
Big Surtur War in Dan Jurgens' run.
Yeah.
Better part of a decade. Not that we ever. I mean, frankly, you would have expected him to come back before now.
Well, you also would have expected Thor to be published, but there for a while it wasn't even being
That's
published.
That's true. There were 3 or 4 years there when he wasn't being published. God, I love the art in this so much, though. I mean, this is where it's his first name, Pascal Ferry, really gets to flex his creative like creature design muscle, because there are some truly gorgeous beasties in this who all converge on Asgard.
You also got this. What is this hell wolf thing?
Oh,
Should I know what the hell wolf is? I mean, is that something Thor lore or something? I don't know.
I honestly don't know.
But it's cool because, like you said, you know, we're kind of moving forward now. And we've got like all the different creatures and stuff that the bad guys, you know, the red looking guys have been attacking and killing. Now showing up at Asgard's doorstep, you know, basically saying you know, we need your help, or you know, we want you to do something. You know, they came looking for Asgard, and now they're, you know, they're, you know, we're here. We want you to do something. Basically, is what they're saying.
Yeah, I love it. Then Baldur basically goes, you know, what we can do nothing. What do you want? Asgard is ash. Asgard is rubble. Oh, but just speaking of creature designs, I don't know what this thing is, but the thing that is appointed speaker for the. Oh man, that thing is otherworldly. I got a shiver when I looked at that page and this shadow with streaks of prawn light across it. Just I don't know what it was about it, but I go, when I just looked at it, it was like, wow.
Yeah, when he talks, he's like shooting some sort of sonic thingy out of his mouth too. It's weird.
When he speaks, it's like the air glows in front of him, the force of his words or something.
Yeah.
It can't talk even like properly because it's slowly and deliberately. That's what I wanted to say about that. I was just like, wow, look at that thing. That's awesome. I don't really know what it is, but wow.
Yeah, and as the issue goes, Thor shows up, but whether, you know, all the monster, all the different creatures are talking, to the Asgardians, and you can see that Thor's brought Loki back. They're shocked, not too happy about that, of course.
No.
And we go back to that doctor that's been trying to talk to Thor, you know, since the beginning of the run, and keeps screwing himself over, you know. Now back talking to Tony Stark again, you know, talking about how he needs to talk to Thor, he needs to tell him something, needs to reason with him, and well, he had already told Thor what was going on, but they didn't care because he had dishonored Odin by leaning on his coffin. That's what happened.
Is this the same guy from the beginning of the run, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he's the guy that's, like, talking to the most brilliant scientist for Asgard.
That was quality.
Yeah.
I wish I could say it again, but use pie.
So, like, he's getting, like, Tony's basically telling you, all right, you know, if it's this important, we need to, you know, get you to another audience with Thor and whatnot, and I mean, like, it kind of, you know, gets to the point where it's just basically, you know, characters are just kind of talking about what's going to happen. Thor and the rest of them basically decide that, hey, okay, we're gonna fight whatever this is. We're gonna declare war on these enemies that are, you know, attacking the creatures and stuff. And then Thor does something crazy. Thor uses his powers, what looks like, to resurrect Odin. Oh my god. And he says, "I am returned" at the end of the issue, with his hell-wolf on his back.
Yeah, and I was like, "Oh man, that's just awesome." Anyway, like, there's a lot of great little moments in this issue, but I was like, "Oh," and then I turned the page to see the next issue page, the cover of the next comic, and it's Thor and Odin going at it, and I was like, "Oh, it's even better than I thought."
So, why did he bring him back? I mean, do you think he? You think he thinks that he needs Odin to fight whatever this thing is that's coming, or is it going back to what you're saying, where he was feeling guilty about his, you know, his father, you know, being dead?
I think Thor basically got over that. I mean, I would say, like, probably on the surface, this is about bringing Odin back to that. But the fact is, Thor's gone off and just brought back his much hated brother from the dead. I think Thor is just missing his family, and before he even starts rebuilding his city, that's what he's trying to rebuild first and foremost.
You think maybe he has some sort of a plan? Like, you think maybe he's wanting to reset Asgard and kind of put it back into its motions again, so that everything, you know what I mean? Like, cause the whole storyline with Ragnarok, you know, when they did that and he wanted to end Ragnarok, you know, going back like years ago, you know, that story. You think maybe he thinks that, you know, maybe things need to be reset, and that's why he's bringing all the players back, Loki and Odin and. All that, Jack.
Well, as Barricade 64 says in the chat, Odin is back because of the movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. Probably.
But I don't know, honestly. I think we'll maybe get a little bit more of it. But I wonder, like, when this particular story is over, I think the inevitability of this is maybe that Asgard will be restored to its proper place in the cosmos.
I mean, that's what it seems like where it's going. I mean, that's where I want it to be. I don't want it to be in Oklahoma.
Please get it out of my backyard. It's taking
up
my
beautiful
plains.
Well, I don't really mind being there, but there stopped being any purpose of it to be there. I mean, it is just a pilot.
I enjoyed it for the JMS stuff, but I think it's since that's done, I think it's time for it to be back where it needs to be.
There's not even there.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing in Broxton.
It is just rubble now as well. So, I mean, the story, you know, it's not like they can just sit on the rocks. They have to rebuild it.
Yeah.
Want my rainbow bridge back.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I don't know if this is all really happening because of the film or not, because Matt Fraction seems to have an identity and a notion for the story he wants to tell here in this, even now. So, I mean, I don't think he's overly beholden to the movie, Child Loki being a good example, you know. But no, I'm still really enjoying his story so far, and this issue is definitely puts a little bit of motion where our heroes are finally properly aware that there is a threat out there that's coming for them as well. So, things yeah. move forward. Mind you, Thor himself continues to really just serve the mechanics of the plot rather than do anything as a character thus far.
Yeah, that's good. I enjoyed it. And that's Thor.
The art is
amazing. Yeah, the art's kind of like the stealing the show. I mean, like, the writing's good. Yeah, I'm enjoying the stories and everything, but like every issue's been gorgeous.
Totally. I mean, I've been a fan of Pascal Ferret since I read his Heroes for Hire with John Ostrander back in the 90s. But he is doing the work of his career on this book.
And the colors, it's also beautiful. I mean, every issue, like the stuff where like Odin's in his personal hell or whatever it is, and all the pinks and reds and everything, and it looks nice. Yeah. It's really pretty.
Every world is a different color.
Yeah. It's good. It's really good. Pick it up, anybody.
Definitely recommended it.
Let's see. Do one of you guys want to take New Avengers, since that's something you guys have read?
I didn't read that.
I'll take it. You want?
Okay.
You got anything else?
Well, I've got that, and I've got Flash. So I figured, I could either I can talk some New Avengers with you, but that's it.
Yeah,
for
let's
me.
Let's talk New Avengers now then.
Okay.
I don't have much else either. So, New Avengers. This issue, everybody sits around the table and chats.
Pretty much.
And it is great.
Oh, it's good. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I enjoyed it, yeah.
This might be the best issue so far, frankly.
Wow.
Everybody is getting their crap back together after the big cosmic super magic battle. And they pick up where they left off, sitting around, eating, and trying to just finalize the setup of the team. Mind you, the way it turns out that everybody just stays on the team, which surprises me, because I really thought Spidey and Wolverine weren't going to be on this team.
Well, Spidey tries to leave, though. Remember?
He has
the deal with, what's her name?
Victoria.
Victoria Hamm, because it's like she worked for Osborn, and he's like, I want to leave because
I don't trust you.
You're garbage, And then he has like the little moment where they talk and everything, and then he decides that he says, I stood up like I was going to leave, full of righteous indignation, and now I don't want to, and I just to just sit back down feels a little embarrassing. And Miss Marvel says, go ahead, no one was listening, and he just sits down and says, thank you.
I mean, this is all just pure character stuff, this issue, totally from top to bottom. This right here is the stuff Bendis does the best. You have Spidey throwing a fit over Victoria Hand. You have Cage really being reluctant to take Captain America, well, not Captain America, take the government's money to, first of all, rebuild Avengers Mansion. And then Victoria Hand starts handing them paychecks, because the Avengers did actually get paid. The Avengers get, I don't know what they do now, but it used to be the Avengers got $1,000 a week. I happen to know that for some reason, okay?
Wow.
I knew they got paid, but I didn't know how much exactly they got paid.
Well, at least at one point, I'm pretty sure it was a grand a week.
Here's your nerd card.
Luke really doesn't want to take money. But Jessica talks him around to it, because they need money. Wolverine just spends the whole thing sitting eating various different foods of shapes and sizes while everybody sort of argues around him.
Yeah.
And they talk Doctor Strange into staying with the team, so that's good. I'm looking forward to that. And they
he's a magic Avenger.
Well, it's good, because frankly, this team needs the variation.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the guy that punches things, the other guy that punches things, the woman that shoots and punches things, the woman that punches things, the guy with claws that claws things, and the guy who sticks to walls and punches things. You could use a bit of magic in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need some heavier
Spidey
DPS.
Spidey can't get a paycheck also, because he knows who he is. He gets screwed over yet again.
It is government money, because this money does come from the government. So he can't get paid.
If he wants to reveal his identity, he can get paid. But no, he ain't going to do that. No.
Yeah, let me take my mask off in front of Norman Osborn's best friend.
Yeah.
And they need a nanny. Luke and Jessica need a nanny for baby Danielle. Now, we talked about this last time, but we get a great double-page spread of loads of cameos.
God, I don't even know who, like, some of these people are. There's like
Hellcat, Mantis, D-Man, Firebird, Machine Man, Cersei. I don't know who that dude is. Echo, US-1, driver of a cybernetic truck from a diecast toy tie-in comic from the 70s.
What Molly the hell?
Other ways. I don't know who that woman in red is. Ultra Girl, Groot, Beverly, Howard the Duck's girlfriend. Deadpool is there. Sepulchre, Snatcher, She-Hulk. I don't know who this guy who can turn into a large ape-like creature is. It might be a Gorilla Girl, I suppose. Tigra and Squirrel Girl is the last one, and Squirrel Girl get the job.
Oh, but just to mention it, I love D-Man in this.
Oh, he's great.
Because they interview him, and he says, I am so lonely. And then they move to the next cast of people, and then he comes back, and he says, I think I came off desperate before. And then they move to a couple of more people, and then he comes back again, and he says, does Captain America ever talk about me?
Oh, my God.
I think the one I laughed the hardest at was Machine Man's one, where he comes in and goes, did you ever hear of Next Wave? We could have kicked all your asses.
It's great. She-Hulk's like, I have a law degree. You understand how humiliating even talking to you about this is? Nighthawk says, I don't get it. Clearly you guys are the defenders, but you're calling yourselves the Avengers. I mean, is it me? Am I the crazy one?
This is a perfect pair of two pages.
Yeah.
And of course, the most perfect thing of all is the fact that Squirrel Girl gets the freaking job.
Yeah.
I mean, she is the most powerful hero in the Marvel Universe. So.
I keep hearing that.
Yes,
well, it's true. She beat Doom and Thanos. So, oh, and
so
Deadpool. So.
But, okay, now, when she gets the job, and you've got that little meeting between her and Wolverine, I don't know hardly anything about Squirrel Girl, so
no,
is that...
is not something that is pre-established that I am
That's
aware
what
of.
I was wondering, because that was weird.
Okay, wait. For the rest of us, what?
Run with me,
Feely. Squirrel Girl's got the baby, she's just holding her up, cooing and all, and then Wolverine walks past the doorway and is like, Doreen, James, you look well. What are you doing here? I'm working here now. I thought we agreed never to see each other again. Are you on this team? Yes, I am. Oh, then I hope we can agree to be professional. Of course. You do look good. You look amazing.
What?
I do not know what is going on there.
I'm interested.
That is awesome. I must start reading this now.
Yeah, frankly, I can't believe that Squirrel Girl has ever known... physical love, frankly.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Anything that gets more Squirrel Girl out there is definitely a plus in my book. So this is definitely another mark in the favor of New Avengers, as is the addition of Wong as the household staff.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange calls him in, and my word, is he not happy about it.
Yeah.
When I dedicated my life in service to you as Sorcerer Supreme, I remember I closed my eyes and I prayed that one day I would not grow up to be a second-rate Jarvis for a second-rate pile of Avengers. If anybody touches my kitchen, I will burn it to the ground.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, this was a truly great issue.
Oh, it was good. It was really good.
And it is just people standing around being characters with one another that you can't... This is good. It cements the fact that we are looking at the best Avengers book here.
No doubt. Yeah, I love this book.
Now I've got to go back and pick that up.
You should. Really. Yeah. I mean, the first six issues are good. They are good. They're enjoyable stuff. But there's just nothing on the level of this, like, as an isolated issue that you could just pick up and read and have fun with. Yes. Do. Recommend and stamp.
She's amazing.
A comic I could not recommend that you pick up as an isolated issue is X-Men Forever 2, number 13, in which 20 out of 22 pages are dedicated to explaining what the hell is going on with the three duplicate Storms. I'm not going to explain it here and now. I'm just going to leave it at that fact, and the fact that it's tied in very tightly with the continuity of a 1989, possibly 1990 comic I have never read.
Oh my God.
It's very thorough. So I couldn't recommend it as a standalone one. What I can always recommend as a standalone read is Tiny Titans, though. This week it's the third and final issue of the Little Archie crossover, in which Sabrina the Teenage Witch comes in and makes friends with Raven. They've been bringing it. Well, last issue we had Josie and the Pussycats, and they're appearing a little bit in this one as well. But they've not just been limiting themselves to the Archie stable of characters. They are doing the whole Archie universe as well.
You know, if they're all friends with Raven, then they'll be great guest stars on the TV show when it comes on.
Yes. Mr. Joan Hart is a little old to be playing a teenager now at this point.
Yeah.
So, they become friends, and but Raven gets a little fed up with Archie hanging around her, so she zaps him off to the Batcave, and Veronica takes a liking to Robin, doesn't want him hanging around with the other girls, and drags him off to meet her dad, and she notices that he has an R on his shirt, like Archie, and just really takes umbrage to that fact, and just wanders off. Well, Archie just has a fantastic time in the Batcave with all the rabbits that are dressed up in Batman suits from a bunch of issues back, and the rocket-powered penguins from Batman Returns that have been a regular presence in this comic.
What the hell?
Yeah, one of the penguins knocks over the dinosaur onto the giant penny. You know, stuff like that. And then Duella Dent pops up. She's looking for Robin, but then Batman comes in and he sees Archie. Who are you? You have an R on your shirt, but you're not Robin. I'm a detective, you know, I can tell. And Jughead and Cyborg have a burger-eating contest. And
Jughead then, wins.
Who won that one? No, it's a tie.
Oh, okay. Shoot.
But it's a close one. And then they do wrap up the Mr. Weatherby No Slade thing as the final page of this issue as well. So, yeah, you know, same things I always say about Tiny Titans. Fantastic. Always wonderfully innocent and funny and just, well, worth your time if you want a laugh. And if you have children, it's a really good excuse to buy it as well. Also, it has a preview of the Young Justice comic in the back, which I think I'll buy now.
Ooh, there's a Young Justice comic?
Yes, no. Yes. It is literally... I'm not sure exactly when it's out. It's pretty soon, though.
So is it going to be like just like the animated Young Justice-y stories or something?
Yeah, it is. It is. It is an all ages tie-in with the cartoon series. I don't know if the whole series is going to be done this way, but the first issue at least is co-written by Greg Weisman, and it literally picks up. It fills in the gap between Batman saying. But at the end of the issue, like when they say get on board or get out of the way, and they give them the key of this story is set in the gap in between when they go home and tell their parents what's going on, and Superboy meets the Wests, and Aquaman gives Aqualad props and stuff like that. I think I'm going to give it a read based on this preview. It looks quite interesting.
Huh? It sounds cool.
Yeah, I wasn't going to give it a look because I don't really bother with the all-ages stuff except for Tiny Titans because it has such a distinct and brilliant identity of its own. Mm-hmm. But that looks pretty good. And it's written by Weisman, so I think it'll be worth reading. As is Tiny Titans. You all should read Tiny Titans, bitches.
Yeah.
And that's me save for Flash this week because I haven't read any graphic novels this week either. I'm doing very badly on that score. But I did man up and buy the first two issues of Spider-Man Big Time this week as well, and we'll be picking that up regularly from now on as well.
You read them?
Yes, I have read them. I mean, it was a real... I'm always saying good things about Dan Slott. I'm always saying how good like Spider-Man is when it passes under my nose and I peruse it as a retailer. It was money where the mouth is time, I thought. And I bought them. And I,
awesome.
And I
enjoyed them. Very good.
One thing I tell you, I noticed that we didn't mention as well. The first issue, Spidey is biweekly, and he's $4 now. And the first issue was like extra large size. It was 38 pages of story. But what I didn't notice, I read it in the letters page then of the first issue, and I checked the second issue to be sure. Spidey is actually 30 story pages an issue. You are actually getting extra story for the extra money you're paying for.
Hey.
Cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. So that is crazy. I mean, you know, definitely. I mean, basically, I was looking at, like, X-Men Forever is my other biweekly $4 title, and it's ending in a month anyway. So I thought, you know what? Man up and get Spidey now. But to realize, to then realize that I'm actively getting $4 worth of content.
It makes it a little bit better, yeah.
It softens.
I mean, I don't really look at it that way. Like, you know, as long as it's awesome, you know, and it stands, I'm good with it, even if I'm paying more than I should, I will pay.
Well, that's how I looked at it when I bought it, because I had decided I was going to buy it anyway. But then when I actually opened it to sit down and read it, I was like, holy shit, wait a minute, this is even better than I realized. So, you know, if anybody out there is getting a little grumpy over the $4 price point for this particular book, know that you are getting enough story pages to actually justify the cost of it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I mentioned one happy point. I hadn't picked up trades in a long time, and I decided I wanted to read the Fantastic Four run since we're getting close to the three and all of that. And it's amazing. Like, I bought, like, volume one, and it was so great I had to go back to the shop the next day to buy two and three, so...
Now, what does Volume 1? Volume 1 is Solve Everything, right?
Yes. A
story with Reed and all the parallel reads.
Yes, with all the other reads.
Volume 2 is the Four Cities one?
Four Cities, yes.
Yeah. So Volume 3 is the...
Nathaniel Richards. Volume 3. Yes.
And what... Yes, my brain is already... it's all started to flow together with Fantastic Four.
The future... Yeah, the kids and all that. So
that was two issues of it. What else is in it?
well, let's see. That's the Future Foundation is one of that. There's a throwaway, basically half issue with the Impossible Man or whatever.
Oh yeah, that one.
And and then. What else?
The other stuff before three, essentially.
Yeah, basically, it's all the other stuff before three, where Val and Franklin are from the future that are helping Nathaniel and all of that stuff. So
that is all such good stuff. I'm very happy to hear you reading it.
I am. Yep. I'm glad too, because now I know where that's all at. And it's nice because, I mean, you would expect it out of this, but I usually complain about, like, the science in other comics. I don't know if a lot of people know this. I actually was, like, a physics major for a while in college, and so I'm, like, real picky about my science. And the science is solid. It's fairly solid in that. So it's not that it has to, but I like when it is. So,
yeah. Fantastic Four is definitely one book where you can get away without too much solidity in your science.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's good stuff. On to other things.
It's just really good that you can actually pick up a book that there's a lot of hype around like that and genuinely sit down, like I've done with Spidey this week, and just go, yes, you know, this actually is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the books. This is not like Avengers or whatever, you know, any of these big name books that are really getting right now. For example, we probably noticed in our Marvel comics this week, this double page ad for the Age of X that is happening that I cannot even muster half of. Awesome.
I have no care for it. I don't know what. Yeah. I buy Uncanny X-Men and I have no idea what's going on in it. I'm so
and you never talk about Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah, because I don't read it. I buy it, but I'm so far behind in it. You see, I like the X-Men and I wanted an X-Men book to replace Joss Whedon and Cassidy's Astonishing X-Men. And I thought it might have to be Uncanny because the other books were terrible. Yeah. And I bought it, and I read a couple issues, and I thought it was good, but I was lost, and I was trying to get caught back up, and I never did. So I don't know.
Should have gone for forever.
I should have. I'm. That sounds awesome. I wish I had now.
Well, if you have history and Claremont stuff, it is, I suppose. I hear a lot of good things about Generation Hope as well, the new series Kieran Gillen has started, which is basically the teen X-book. Which has been a niche they've desperately been trying to fill for a while now with a chain of books that have just lived and died over and over. New Mutants, Academy X, New Mutants.
Any X X-Men for next week, and I can either tell you that it's awful or it's awesome. I'll probably say it's awful.
Yeah, I would be interested in that because I don't follow the mainstream X stuff at all. But it's just really nice whenever you can pick up a book and see that actually the hype machine is true. And that is the case with something like Fantastic Men's Fantastic Four or Slott's Amazing Spider-Man. You know, we're not trying to play into the hype machine when we sit here and we tell you that these books are good, are excellent books. You know, we tell you this because they are.
Yeah. Because, you know, we would tell you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big Spider-Man fanboy, but I mean, despite that fact, I can tell you when's crappy Spidey and when's good Spidey, and trust me, right now is very good Spidey.
Speaking of things that you love but yet make you weep in pain and misery, if you follow me on Twitter, which you should, you may have noticed that I had a particular tweet.
How can they follow you on Twitter, JD?
It's the JD Church. I would just be JD Church, but that was taken. So I had to be the, it's nothing pretentious, it's just that's what I needed. So, anyway, you should follow, because I sometimes post interesting things, but not often. My tweet was, to paraphrase, close to the following. Dear Giffen and DeMatteis, Ted Kord is dead. This happened over 5 years ago. Please get over it. Sincerely, everyone. Yet again.
Co-signed.
Co-signed. The cast of Fanboyverse.
I did not read this. This is Booster Gold, and I broke the habit this month. I did not get Booster Gold.
No.
You know, so I'm just going to sit back and soak this in.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say good for you, McFeely, for not falling back on that drug and succeeding.
I do have trouble kicking that.
I will say, this entire issue is nothing but a eulogy for Ted Kord, right? Booster spends the entire issue doing nothing but crying over his 5 years ago dead friend, okay? Now, what you learn is that basically all of the preceding issues were nothing but Giffen and DeMatteis trying to remind us about how cool Ted Kord was and why we need to be sad that he's dead. And
I can tell
sad.
You why we're sad that he's dead. He had a fun Beetle spaceship thing. That's why we're sad.
And we were sad. We were sad. And Booster was sad. Like 5 years ago. All right? He got over it during the Jurgens run. It was gone. It was done. He was cool. He made his peace, but no.
Remember the Jurgens run.
But what we go back, I mean, he goes to, like, Ted's hometown and goes out on patrol, and there's a whole conversation about that. He goes to Ted's grave and literally breaks down. Like, breaks down, weeping, crying in front of Ted's grave. Really? I mean, I get it. It's his friend, and he lost his friend. I understand that. But right now, there's this whole other issue going on called Jen Lost, where there's, like, big fucking important things going on. Anyway, I will say that this issue was titled Letting Go. And I hope that means that the writers are letting go, because we let go. It's okay.
You know, just for the fact that I want to hear you rage about this again, I really hope he travels back in time and goes on a wacky adventure with Ted in the next issue.
You know, I'm... God. I hope not.
They have literally dedicated the first 7 issues of their run to reliving this old stuff.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, whatever their run has been, it's been the whole thing, really.
Top to bottom.
Yeah. Has been basically...
Not always in full-on mourn Ted mode, but everything has been about using time travel to bring back some element of their old run.
Yes. And it's like, yes, we get it. This was a cool character that you guys loved, like, 20 years ago or whatever, when you were writing about it. That's great. The rest of us don't give a crap. This character moved on. Other important things going on, okay? Deal with it. right?
Things
happen to your characters when you're not writing them, okay? And sometimes that means they die. Get over it.
So does this give you the feeling that maybe Booster Gold's not long for this world, the comic?
No, I think my hope, and that's why I said, this there's two things that gives me hope. One is that this is issue 39. So we're going to be into issue 40 come next issue. So hopefully this is it. Hopefully they've got it out of their system. They have said their huge eulogy lament to Ted, and that issue 40, they will then move on to more interesting things. I doubt it, because there's some point in here at the end where there's some note about General Glory being dead, and there's apparently Nazis or something, so they may go back to that storyline. But I don't know. They're bringing this the girl back in. I can't remember what her name is, mainly because they don't deal with her often enough. But apparently Booster's trying to be more of like a father figure to her, which he had admitted that he sucks at. Although I will say that the last six panels are showing Ted's grave, and apparently Rip builds like a force field around it so that it will last on the Earth until it becomes a desolate wasteland and crashes into the sun.
Okay.
Right.
Maybe he doesn't want him to be raised by another Blackest Night. Maybe that's why he did.
You know, I'm putting the odds that Ted Kord will be resurrected pretty low at this point. I mean, they already have another Blue Beetle, and he's perfectly fine. He fills that role. To be honest, Ted was cool and all, but it's not like he was an amazing, you know, even B-level hero in the DC Universe. They got him from Charlestons, and they never seemed to really figure out what to do with him other than during that Giffen and DeMatteis run on JLI. And he wasn't hardly relevant. The best thing that he did in the last 20 years is get shot in the head.
Aww.
I don't know. But, I mean, he's a cool guy. Don't get me wrong. But it's just, I don't know. Booster has moved on. That character is doing far more interesting things in other comics like Gen Lost.
Hooray!
Yay! as we get into Gen Lost, something is being made very apparent, and it's finally tying into other things that are going on in the universe. Namely, nobody knows who the hell Wonder Woman is.
Yes, this was very interesting.
Oh, they don't know who Wonder Woman. They don't know the new Wonder Woman you're talking about, like the JMS Wonder Woman, right?
Apparently. I mean, the only people that know who Wonder Woman is, according to this, is Fire, Ice, Booster, Captain Atom, and Maxwell Lord.
So basically our Justice League International guys is the only ones that know?
Yes. And not even the add-ons, right? Blue Beetle, no idea. Rocket's Red, no idea.
Skeets,
so,
no idea.
Skeets, even Skeets doesn't know, which means that something really screwed up is going on.
Huh.
This is terribly, terribly interesting.
Yes.
Because what had really just seemed like some casual little story Straczynski was doing that wouldn't mean anything has suddenly, in conjunction with Flash from 2 weeks ago, taken on an infinitely greater significance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this seems to be, you know, we're getting into that second half of Brightest Day, and what's the point, and how does it tie in and everything, and it's seeming like this Wonder Woman story might start to be something that's going to take shape going into the second half of Brightest Day, so, yeah. Other than that, there's a lot of people standing around talking. My favorite part of the issue is Captain Atom is basically bitching up a storm because now the whole world thinks that he killed Magog, and Booster basically gets in his face and tells him, get the fuck over it. He's like, look, we're in the middle of a shitstorm. We've got all the stuff
going on. Booster tells him to get over it?
Yes.
Booster
gets up in his face and tells him to shut the fuck up.
That's funny.
It's awesome. Well, I mean, it's like they said, and they mentioned it a few issues back, which is that the really terrifying thing is that Booster's their leader. Like, it's not Captain Atom, you know, it's which is kind of what you would expect, but it's Booster. Booster is really the one that's calling the shots and making it all work. And, you know, but yeah, but Nate's the thing, the whole line that's going on is that Nate's all pissed off and he's like, "We're going to find Maxwell and I'm going to kill him." And Booster's like, "The fuck you are. We're the good guys, all right? And it sucks and it means you got to take it up the ass sometimes, but we're the good guys and we are not going to kill him. And when we find him, you are not going to kill him because I am going to beat the ever-living piss out of him and then we're going to put him in jail." Just awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I'm just really interested with the implications of this whole Wonder Woman thing. I mean, I wonder what it means.
Yeah, I mean,
is it really to do with Brightest Day, or is it what's next, you know?
I don't know. I mean...
I'm interested. And I mean, also, it certainly puts... I mean, it doesn't... I mean, to be honest, it doesn't really work with what Straczynski was doing, because Straczynski has presented an entirely alternate timeline where she never became Wonder Woman. But what we have in Brightest Day, essentially, is a world where she did become Wonder Woman, and it's just that nobody actually remembers it. Because the world wouldn't be the world that it is now, and Generation Lost would not be happening the way it is if Wonder Woman had not existed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is that really odd question is, why is the JLI, why is it these five members of the JLI that do remember her? Because it's not Max doing it. I mean, because he was pissed. He was pissed that nobody could remember who she was. Because
I suppose there's irony in this. But I hate irony!
Wonderful. Yeah. I mean, especially as this moves forward, it's going to be really interesting to see how this is going to play into other series. And because there was even... It was even Brightest Day from last week or week before where it was the new Wonder Woman costume on the cover. Now, covers don't mean anything, but...
Yeah.
That was a dream anyway.
Yeah, but I
mean...
Yeah,
but it was weird because it was on the cover and then it wasn't in the issue.
Right.
And then, like you said, you know, she was like at the end of the issue of Flash and now she's in Justice League. And none of this is being referenced at all in the actual Wonder Woman story. They completely ignore the rest of the DC Universe and the actual JMS story.
I think it's basically the result of better writers than JMS. Well, okay, no, not better. More considerate writers than JMS actually trying to figure out how this idea of his will work into the larger framework, not something he was bothered with at all.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. Of course, at the end of this issue, the headquarters where they're hanging out is breached once again by, what are these people called? The
Creature Commandos.
The Creature Commandos, which I have no idea what that is, but I'm assuming you do.
I just know enough to know them by name and to recognize G.I. Robot in the crowd.
Well, there you go. But
monstrous continue World War II team of monsters, I believe.
They did deal a little bit. They did talk a little bit about Ice and how she had lied about her origin. Although she didn't, she hadn't remembered that she had killed her father, but she did remember where she came from, and she had always lied about her origin because she had wanted to be a hero. And
all the Ice fans who are reading this comic are so pissed off.
Speaking of Ice, has any of you guys seen the newest episode of Brave and the Bold?
I was going to bring that up, yeah.
Because, like, they may be even more pissed off because she's brainless in that episode.
Oh, really?
I actually didn't like that portrayal of her too much either, to be honest.
I liked the episode, though. I thought the episode was great.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Yeah,
it's like if you want some other dude except for Michael Ironside to do Darkseid, get that bloke, whoever he was.
Yeah, he was good. For a minute, I thought it was Ironside, actually, and then I was like, no, it's not, but he's good.
I don't know who it was did it, but because I never see the credits to it, but he was good. I liked him. And then the question saved everybody.
Yeah, question's awesome.
I figured it was just going to be Martian Manhunter like shape-shifted into a parademon or something. Question.
But they already established that the question was an apocalypse like in an early episode, so they had to kind of go back to that because it looked like he died. I just didn't figure he was going to come back and be just the guy that saved everybody.
Yeah, just save everybody arbitrarily at the end. But, yeah. There's only like 2 episodes left of this season of Brave of the Bold now.
I did finally catch, I caught the Doom Patrol episode of that.
And that is a weird episode.
It is weird, but it's really good, too. It was like, I didn't realize it was Henry Rollins doing Robot Man until later, and it was really weird, especially how it ended.
I really enjoyed it up until, like, the last scene. Yeah. And I imagine that must be lifted out of a comic, because the dialogue is too weird.
Well, it was.
What the fuck is all that talk about people standing up to pharaohs and pilgrims and stuff?
I don't know. And it was Demetrius,
they were talking about how they were ordinary people who took a stand. What does that have to do with willingly blowing yourself up?
Yeah,
what
it doesn't.
What stand are you taking? What statement are you making?
Yeah, it didn't. That was Demetrius, though, wasn't it?
Hmm. Animal, animal, mineral, vegetable man. Was,
yes. That was like totally random and totally awesome.
I love that show.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was Demetrius that wrote that, wasn't it? I think that's what...
It was, I believe, yeah.
So, anyway.
Sorry to divert, I just...
No, it's okay.
Ice being in a very, yeah, very much blonde and Brave and the Bold.
Oh, lovely.
I was going to bring it up anyway, so...
But, yeah, but the only other thing that's the comment about Ice is that she had just not really tapped into her full potential of her power, and she doesn't know if she could control it if she tried to go that way again. And then I'm not going to give away the last panel because it's definitely a WTF moment. So
yes, that was something else.
not what I was expecting at all. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Let's talk Flash, and then I'll talk about one more thing.
Okay, Flash then.
Flash number 7, a.k.a. Captain Boomerang's Secret Origin.
Yeah.
What a good issue.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually really was. For being a Flash issue, Flash didn't really play in much at all. But,
nope.
Man.
And I'm okay with that.
No, this was great. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know if how much of an alteration it is from his history or if there...
Yeah, I really don't know either. I often think when I'm reading a Geoff Johns comic that deals with the origin of a character, that if I knew more about them, I might be pissed off. It's like with Ice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If I cared, I might be pissed off, but I don't, so it's awesome.
Yes. But yeah, I
would not have recognized Scott Collins on the art for this issue, though, without reading the credits.
Yeah, it doesn't look anything like his art, like his regular art that you see.
I mean, I don't know when it happened exactly, but I really warmed up to Scott Collins. He worked on Avengers for a while with Busiek.
Well, he worked on Flash back a long time ago, in Geoff Johns' run before.
Johns back years ago. But I wasn't reading DC back then, so I really first encountered him on Avengers, which actually may not have been with Busiek. Might have been. I don't remember when it was. But
Avengers Year One story something, you know?
That was a great book.
Yeah, it was good.
But I never really liked him that much. And at some point, do you know, it might have actually been Avengers Year One. What was it called? Earth's Mightiest Heroes, it was called.
Yeah.
That might have actually been the thing that turned me around on him, because that was such a good series.
Yeah, I like his art a lot. I've always enjoyed his art. I think in the stuff that I've seen, most of it, I've enjoyed that I've seen.
I never dug him on Avengers, but I have really come around to him. Speaking of Avengers, that reminds me, while we're standing here, just click this button to download the newest episode.
Oh. It's good.
Don't be telling me.
No, I'm just going to say it's good.
Okay, Flash.
Flash.
So this issue is Captain Boomerang. The framing sequence of the issue is Captain Boomerang breaking into, what's the name of that prison that they have in Flash? Iron Heights Penitentiary. And we get an extended flashback to Captain Boomerang's history as some poor dirt farmer in the Badlands of Australia or something.
Yeah, which is kind of, you know.
I thought, do you want me to go on, or are we going to stop?
No, you go, sir. You know. But
he gets a boomerang for the first time and destroys his stepfather's truck with it.
Yeah.
It is, of course, a tale of pretty generic, hide me father sort of storytelling.
Yeah.
Because he's a farmer's son and he gets punched around for being a bit of a weed. And he keeps getting these boomerangs in the post, and he learns to throw boomerangs. He learns to be good at boomerangs.
You have Captain Boomerang. There yeah. you go.
Well, and yeah, so he
starts committing crimes as a young man and gets thrown out. And he comes to America following the address of the man who kept sending them to him. And what's his name? W.W. Wiggins.
Wiggins.
Who is going to launch boomerangs, like just a boomerang toy company for children. And he has gives Digger his Captain Boomerang identity to be the mascot and spokesperson for his company. Unfortunately, it's only bloody boomerangs, so it doesn't succeed in the slightest. And Captain Boomerang turns to crime. And then we get a potted history of Boomerang and his time with the Rogues and his time with the Suicide Squad. And he finds out that Wiggins was his dad, which was like, yeah, you know, I basically figured that out from about the third page of this comic.
Yeah.
But I do like reading some of this dialogue with an Australian accent, you know. I ain't a kid you can push around anymore, Pops. I ain't your Pops, you right bastard.
And you get that thing at the funeral where, you know,
he tells him that line, and then it was like, fuck!
And he says, he was dead before I realized my hand had moved, and it shows his head's like gone.
Awesome, yeah.
Off with a boomerang.
Nice.
And then we find out that his objective in breaking into Iron Heights is to question the Reverse Flash, who has been held here since he was captured at the end of Flash Rebirth. He wants to know more about the White Light and why they've been brought back. Not really clear if the Reverse Flash actually has any answers to give him, because he doesn't listen.
Well, he wants to know about the future.
He wants to know about his own future. Yes, I bet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he knows that the Reverse Flash comes from the future, so he wants to know about what will happen to him. And unfortunately, Zoom doesn't have anything nice to say about it at all.
No, he's kind of an ass about it, which is awesome.
Well, as you would expect.
Yeah, he's really great, because he's just like, because he asked him, and he was like, why would you think I have no money? You're nothing.
But then, that doesn't even faze him. You know, he takes it really strongly as well. He doesn't use that. I ain't dreaming about some Captain Boomerang museum or some rot.
I am.
And then, unfortunately, at the very end, the rest of the Rogues turn up because this is a bad thing Captain Boomerang has done, and they are not going to stand for it. Next issue, in 2 weeks, before the end of the month even, the secret origin of the Reverse Flash, which I hope can be as good as this issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because this is good stuff. It's not really now in line with the last couple of issues, to be fair.
Nope.
Mm-mm. It is not the slightly genteeler Silver Age feel that we've had. Slightly, not decompressed, but just gently paced, gentle without feeling, I've said it before, you know, without feeling throwaway. This is a pretty dense history recap with some pretty dark overtones that is very much what one would expect more from Geoff Johns. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to demean how much I have enjoyed the first 6 issues of the series, but I have to say I'm more like this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's...
Well, I'm good with both. I mean, I'm good with getting before, and then, like, when that's done, give us another one like this. One issue that just kind of stands on its own like this.
Well, next issue is our Captain Boomerang origin issue.
Reverse Flash.
Reverse Flash, I beg your pardon, yes. Mm-hmm. And then I believe after that we are into the Flashpoint prelude. So I think things ought to be pretty heavy for that.
Yep. So, awesome.
You find out who's riding that motorcycle.
Yeah.
Barricade 64 makes the point there. 2 issue number 7s this week that are probably better than the first 6, which is quite true.
Yeah, and New Avengers as well.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's a pretty goddamn good week overall.
Yeah, I mean,
we're good this week.
Yeah,
good stuff. Next week, it sounds like.
And Flash and Avengers are both, I mean, the quality of them are kind of the same level, I guess, because they're both really awesome books.
Strong character work at its best.
And I'm going to have hope that next month, next month for Booster, it's going
to
be.
I'll leave you to that. You can deal with you. You do that.
You're gonna jump off, and then it's gonna get awesome, and then you're gonna.
So
be,
like, if he goes back to Ted Kord's grave, and he's drinking like a beer at his grave or something, are you gonna drop the book?
No,
for the whole.
I cannot. I cannot turn my back on Booster.
Remember
got
that
you,
time?
Got you a six pack, Ted. Got you a six pack. It's your favorite.
Oh no.
Oh Ted, why won't you drink it, Ted? Why did you have to die?
Wow. Looking ahead to next week, I'm gonna be totally broke next week.
Oh, what do you got next week? I haven't really looked.
Oh my God, I've got Batman and Robin, Brightest Day, Green Lantern, Emerald Warriors, Time Masters. Which seems pretty pointless at this point. And that's only issue 5. So,
I wonder if that's
going to get back. Thought that Time Masters was going to be Dan Jurgens explains Grant Morrison's craziness.
No.
And then Grant Morrison's craziness, like, bizarrely wound up making sense by the time the final issue rolled around. Yeah. And everyone was like, what the hell's the point of Time Masters then?
Yeah. And then I've got Amazing as well, so.
Oh, well, I'll have Amazing.
So, that's going to be a big week. That'll be good. So, it should be a really exciting show next week. I was kind of going to do a contest, but I don't think it's going to pan out. So, maybe we'll wait. But we are going to do a year-end wrap-up show. Hell or high water, it's going to happen. So, I would like, if you would, to send us questions, topics over the last year. We're going to be thinking about it, I hope, and brainstorming about things that we're going to want to talk about at that last issue or episode, I guess, of the month, which is, what is going to be that last? Is it 2 weeks from today?
Hold on. Today is Sunday, so, well, the last Sunday of the month will be December 26th.
So I think we ought to do the wrap-up on the 2nd.
So technically there'll be another week of comics in December, December the 29th, before the month is over. So you never know, like, the best comic of the year might come out then.
I know. So we'll do it on the 2nd. It'll be January 2nd. We'll do our 2010 year-end comic wrap-up. So if you do have questions or anything, events or specific things that you want to talk about, send it in. Send this question. You can do it on Twitter.
I mean, we'll probably just be talking about, like, our favorite issues or our favorite series out of the year, some of the ones that sucked so hard, or some, like, standout characters or creators, you know. But if there's anything special that you enjoyed and want to see us maybe dedicate some time to, let us know.
Yeah, I mean, especially because, you know, obviously we didn't start this show at the beginning of the year, so there's a couple of a month gap in there. So if there is something you want
just
to talk
about. Just the one,
though. Just one?
Just the 1 month.
Oh, yeah, because we started in February. So there's like...
February. We're not too bad.
Yeah, we're pretty close. Oh, my gosh, we're going to be coming up on our 1 year. It's going
to
be crazy.
Yeah, we need to figure out something to do then.
I think we will have a contest then.
Yes, we should try and sort a contest out for the birthday.
Don't know what it's going to be, but we'll do a birthday contest for the show. I'll mention one thing that I can mention and can't talk about. I did get into the beta for DC Universe Online.
I wish you could talk about that.
Yeah.
I want to know more
about it. Hey, speaking of DC Universe Online, okay, I was doing my previews order just there the other thing. And why did I not know until I read about it in previews a week before putting the order in that there's going to be a 26-issue bi-weekly, year-long DC Online tie-in comic?
Is there?
I just heard about that the other day. It's going to tie in with the events that's going to happen in the online game or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really unclear on just, like, what the hell. I mean, why has this not been more publicized?
I don't know.
I mean, it's starting before the other bi-weeklies are over. It starts in February.
Yeah,
but it just
the game comes out January 31st, so that's about
finally.
Right.
Is that like PC and PS3 then, or is like the PS3 one going to be delayed, you think?
I don't know. I haven't heard that it will be delayed. It looks like usually they'll do those both releases at the same time, but my understanding is that they'll both be at the same time. So yeah, but I can't tell you about the game, but I can tell you that I'm in the beta. So there you go.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Have fun.
So try it. Yeah. So anyway, all right. Is there anything else? Is that it? Is that our show? That's it?
I think that's everything for this week.
Well, let me mention real quick that we do want to, again, thank Comic News International. We are partnered with them now, so you can find our show weekly over there. They're also a great source for comic news, comic information, reviews, other things as well. So if you are looking for a source for your comic book news, you probably want to go to Comic News International. That's comicnewsi.com. Eventually that'll make it in our exit, but it's not yet. So, but anyway, and of course, again, we want to thank all the guys over there at ENI for letting us be a part of that, as well as all of the other great shows that are on this network that you all probably listen to more than this. So anyway, so that's it. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. Thank you all, everybody out there for listening. And please tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy versus...
This has been Fanboy Versus with your hosts, J.D. Church, Chris McFeely, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2010 Radio Free Cybertron.